we're going on then to Rainer.
Hi.
Rainer Bartel, he teaches at a university in Germany, and he found Forest Friends, and he sent an intern over as well, Patrick, who was with us for about 2 months.
That's true.
And he was very good intern as well. All our interns are very good. Sometimes they don't turn up at the right time, but that's not the case of Kate. But sometimes they're good timekeepers and bad timekeepers, and they fall down in little ways. But by the time they're finished their internship, they're right on track to take on a job. In
most
a
important of it.
Like that, yes. You know? So basically then, Rainer, tell us then about Ireland. This is your second time in Ireland. So, I mean, Kate found Ireland very welcoming in that. And how do you find Ireland, your second visit?
Well, first visit was in Northern Ireland and seen area between Belfast and Derry and Portadown.
Yeah.
Seeing the countryside. This time I was traveling to the west coast, having been in Clifton and seen National Park, Connemara, and also Burren National Park up to the cliffs of Moher. So I have an idea. I liked it.
Yeah, that's right. Just don't stand too close to the mic because you have a loud voice, you know. So that's fine. Now, basically, Dan, you find the landscape very attractive, do you? The Irish landscape.
This is true. The landscape of a green island.
Green.
This is kind of a synonym I always combined with it, and second with it. I see it very close, and well.
So the west of Ireland has a particular interest to you, the west of Ireland.
This is true, although I had certain different ideas about it.
Yeah.
Having read Irish Diary of Bill and also finding out about James Joyce, I tried to find
about
this
James
country.
Joyce, did you say? James Joyce?
Yes, and finding out about this country itself.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think James Heaney then is of particular interest to you as well.
This is true. When I had this history of the country in front of me, I thought, well, these people were pioneers, but pioneers from my point would be in a modern way. Not only pioneers depleting the box and taking the peat out of it, but more regenerating the landscape, which would be quite a good
Seamus
challenge.
Heaney would be a pioneer of today, and he would be talking about the landscape a lot.
So he was talking about the people harvesting the turf.
The people and the landscape.
Yes, and from my point, a modern version would be getting in native trees
yeah.
from origins close by, and also refinding the old forest lands.
Okay.
Sometimes there are.
Right, so let's get on to this thing about the trees down in the forest. And that's Forest Friends were set up partly because the government were planting the wrong trees in the wrong place. They weren't planting the native trees, which are mainly hardwood trees. And per capita, Ireland imports more hardwoods from rainforests than any other European country. Now, yet, since the 1930s practically, this monoculture of Sitka spruce, which is not a native tree at all, the government, Caoilte then, who is a semi-state body, and they have been as stubborn as they have been in relation to Tony Rochford and his rights as a citizen, in continuing the plantation of a monoculture of a non-native exotic species which acidifies the rivers and causes big problems.
This I wanted to say. So I wanted to compare it to Germany, and of course not everything in Germany is green and perfect, but we have the rather tradition of
trees.
Continuous cover forestry, of mixed forests, and different understanding also in points of economy. So these monocultures, as you mentioned, these are highly affectable to insects, to diseases, fungi, and they are only one age mostly on a large plot, and so it's a risk rather for long term. So if you have different other species in between, these risks would be reduced, and also the soil would be kept preserved in a better way. So it would be also economical to do so. Right. But so especially you've told me that the spruce is non-native. So this is Sitka spruce. This is even a problem brought in the 1930s. I think from a gardener. So the understanding of forests seems to be kind of gardening, agriculture, gardening, but not a forest. So in Germany, we have rather an understanding of forests as with a lot of species. And in these times, we have, I see it from a European level, a minimum area. Germany has, for example, 30% of forests. At the moment, Ireland has less, I think about 10 or even below. So not much land and even bare rock. And in these bare rock areas I saw close to the cliff of Moher, you can combine cultural heritage, which is there definitely, but you can also bring in the native species and do better than even letting cows and sheep graze. They won't find that much, but these trees are a chance to bring, especially in these rare areas, and have a benefit from it.
So what you're saying is that in Ireland we're doing the wrong thing. We're not doing it, but the government doing the wrong thing by planting a non-native exotic species, mainly Sitka spruce, a conifer, which acidifies rivers, and they also use herbicides, insecticides.
I saw this on my road, yes.
Now, how can we, in your experience in Germany, they're doing something different and they're planting a lot of different species of trees?
Yes, normally they do.
And that's the way to plant trees, not just one species. And if you went to the rainforest, you'd find maybe hundreds of different species. And so how can we, Forest Friends, a small organization, admittedly, Kate here found us, you found us. Can you empower us then to do something about this?
Well, one thing would be...
How can you help us?
Limited way. I mean, young people can do a lot. This is what we were talking about a moment ago.
So and Kate,
I
is
think,
a young person.
Yes, she's would be young. The next generation, because next we have generation. An intergenerational contract kind of. And I think all of us, even in Germany, we can do better. And I think we have some skills. We should just apply these skills for better management and also for economic. It's not only ecology I'm talking about. It's also an economic thinking. How to reevaluate the landscape and landscape as a cultural and biological heritage. So this would be
One of the things we've found in Forest Friends is that in the curriculum of the schools, that the environment is not a high priority.
Should be much higher, yes.
But in Germany, is the environment a high priority in the schools?
I have to say we have to do better in these years. We have chances, but we have to do better. I mean, in the year of sustainability, at the moment we have...
What about Canada? Were you born in Canada, Kate? So in Canada, is the natural environment high priority in the curriculum?
It's starting to become higher, but it's not taught enough.
It's not taught enough.
Environmental science is growing. It's growing fast in Canada. A lot of people are studying that at university, but there's not enough coverage of it in school, I don't think.
So there wouldn't be a module. Now, the course you're doing, which is a third level course, is there an environmental module in it?
No.
No, well, there you are now. That's the answer, isn't it? You've got a third level. Tony, you might come in here again now and just give your opinion on education in the school of the environment to do with trees and that. In your opinion, what should be done? Because it's clear now that it's not being done. So what would you say should be done?
Well, just looking, when I came into the show today and you were telling me what you were going to talk about, I just had a quick look on the internet. And there was stuff there that I didn't realise, that one tree will service 10 people with oxygen for the year.
Yeah.
Like, there's simple little things that I should know about, but I'd never heard them before.
So you came to Enviro to find out about it. So you're learning, and our listeners are learning too.
Exactly. This is all a learning curve. But unless this information is pushed out to us, do you know what I mean? Like,
so
we're past the generation of being going to school.
Repeat that, Tony. One mature tree supplies enough oxygen for
10 people per year.
See, this is amazing, you know.
So basically, if they're cutting down all the trees, all our oxygen is gone.
So one tree, a mature tree felled, is cutting off oxygen for 10 people.
Especially, and especially in Ireland. Like, most of our trees in Ireland, they take 70, 80 years to mature.
Yeah.
So it's going to take them a long time to get back to there. If they cut down today, they won't be ready. I'll be dead before the same tree is coming back.
And then the same mature tree can store up to a ton of carbon, of CO2.
It can indeed, yeah.
A ton now. No,
and trees should even get older. I mean, 80 years of a tree, like a beech, for example, even more. So long term.
So there you are, can do that for 150 years, 200 years.
So this is something you start a forest and you will never see how it's, and you still see the first stages and which species will be in. There are rare species in these forests, like bats and birds. And this is something also the young persons should discover directly, because if they see an ant, they will feel something and have an idea of forests.
What we must say to people is, what people want to know is, what good are trees to us? And what Tony has said is, one tree supplies oxygen for 10 people. Now,
especially in book areas.
There's no point in talking about the birds and the bees, because there is point in talking about it, but you have to talk about how the trees can benefit us first.
Yes, of course.
And then you can talk about the birds and the bees.
Depends on whom you're talking with. For the children, it's much more interesting to see an ant, but for an older person, it is, of course, the economic value, the benefits and good forest quality can bring us. And when I see it close to Connemara, harvesting peat is not the best financial calculation. It's much better to restore these areas and get funding from carbon dioxide funds. This would be, but we have to develop this also on the European level. So there have things, homeworks from the last 30 years to be done, I guess.
Okay, so Kate was saying there's a lot of trees. She can see there's a lot of trees in the city, in Dublin City, compared with Toronto, for example, even though the tree cover in the city is only about 7%, whereas in some of the cities in Germany, it would be up to 20%. So there's a lot more trees. Yes. If you went to Germany, okay, there'd be a lot more trees there, probably in some of the cities.
Our communal forests have a lot of area in Germany, so we have not only Berlin forests, but we have very large forests.
Joe wants to come in again. Joe, have you want to say something here?
Right, pest.
No, you're not a pest now.
The policy here has been to cut down forests and to do plantations. Yeah. In 1948, when the Irish Forestation Programme started in 1948, which is the one you referred to earlier, and that was only to plant, they only planted trees, which is your Sika spruce. Yeah. The idea of planting them was for the paper industry. They wanted to be able to have a reliant source of paper for printing, because we didn't have it. Yeah. And that's about all they're good for. They're no good for wood or anything else. Mm. And they're so poisonous on the earth anyway that they we shouldn't be having them at all. Yeah. But they have plantations. They have not planted any forests at all. They only plant plant trees in plantations, which is monoculture, which is not very good for the environment or for the trees themselves or for us. They're of really no benefit to us, because they grow them for about 25 years and then they cut them all down. And so you have clear felling, and then the soil washes away and washes all the dead pine needles and all the chemicals that they've been spraying on them into the nearest water source, and kills all the fishes and kills all the animals and causes blooms in the lakes and that. And so we should actually be following a course of planting forests and real forests, and that would give serious employment to a lot of people, because the forests, when you have real broadleaf forests growing, the amount of employment that you get for tinnings, for intensive growing inside, and then taking out the ones when the trees are growing straight, you cut out your intermediate ones and you get a use out of them. So you've got serious work for the whole lot.
That's fine, John. Two things, questions I have for Rainer and then for Kate as well. Kate is doing advertising and marketing in a university. Mm. Now, I said to her before the programme, how would you market the environment? Because Rainer would agree, Joe, you would agree, Tony would agree, that most people are so caught up in trying to get enough money together to pay the bills and keep the wolf away from the door, that the environment is on the long finger. We should do something about it. If the rainforests have fallen down, so what? You know, even though we might be destroyed and might become extinct. So how, Kate, just you first of all, how do you market? How could we market the environment to not just the young people, the older people as well. How do you market the environment?
I think you have to connect with the people, because a lot of people, they know that there's work that needs to be done to the environment, but they like to put it to the back of their mind. Mm. We need to connect with them to show them how the environment affects them every day.
Every day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that we'd have to do that. So we're not. Well, on Enviro then, you know, we are doing it in a small way, but it's a small program, it's a small station, and it can go. We have listeners in different parts of the world, and so then, what about you, Reynar? Then how are we going to market it? Because we're not succeeding, you know.
From my point of view, people have to rediscover their heritage, what they have. So finding out that the weather conditions at the moment may be an indicator of lacking forests. And they have still these single spots of old woodland. And perhaps mapping this woodland and finding out how to bring it into a network. But it's a longer way. Yeah. I won't say it's from one day to the other, of course. It's forest management. But if the sooner you start, the sooner you will have first fruits of better. Okay. Then also certified forest management. Because
we might talk about that next week. Now, you mentioned to me there in the last, yesterday when I was talking to you, a group called ProSilva, and also you mentioned this thing of continuous canopy. Silviculture basically is planting a variety of trees, as Joe was saying, not just one tree. And then continuous canopy means that the canopy would always be there, and then you would take out different species as they mature at different times.
According to the diameters.
It's said about Ireland that at one stage a squirrel could go from east to west without coming down onto the ground. You know,
it's amazing.
That is the kind of country we had.
Today you wouldn't believe anymore. But
you wouldn't believe.
In the 12th century, there
Tell people about ProSilva, who ProSilva are.
Okay, ProSilva is a European organization. Yeah. You mentioned these aims they have. Trying to think as a forest. So it's difficult to say, but human beings and forests are partially unity. Yeah. Only partially, because if the forest is good, you will have your benefit from it. And forests are, in modern terms, rather measured as health indicators. So if the health is going down, more has to be invested into nature. But it seems we have to do better. And ProSilva is, from what I know, in most European countries. But there's only one point I would like to add to you. It is you plant trees and bring up mixed forests, so you should have a broad range of products you can use later, so different species. But you would not only
you're
always...
You're coming along next week as well, so we'll continue on that conversation.
We will
do
so.
I want to give Tony Rochford, who is our special guest today, and he's just come off hunger strike, and we want to give him the last word in this particular edition, special edition of Enviro Broadcasting near 90.3 FM North East Access Radio. Tony.
Well, the first thing is that the problem in Ireland is actually the government. So what we need to do is unify all the different groups, whether it be fisheries, bog, trees or whatever, get everyone in together to get rid of the problem. Deal with the government, then we can deal with all our issues individually. But the government that are there are not educated enough to deal with them.
So we want to educate. Actually, we forgot about that. We have to educate the politicians.
But they cannot be educated. They're so...
Well, they cannot be educated.
No, they can't be educated. So you get rid of them and you get people in with new ideas and new ways of going forward. Environmentalists, people that care about where they live and care about the kids that are going to be coming up in the future. Yeah. We have to unify under one flag and march on the dial. It's the only way, because we're too spread out, too divided.
Okay.
And the government are going to keep
them divided. We've run out of time. Tony, you can come in soon again to tell us about the next step in improving the situation. Reynar is going to come in next week. And Kate, you're going to be here for another few weeks in Ireland, are you? How many more weeks are you here?
Four more weeks.
So you can come in again before you finish your internship with Forest Friends. So listen, we have to say goodbye from Enviro for another week. And thank very much to our guests, and Tony and
thank you very
Reynar
much, John.
And Kate, and then our panelists, Joe and... So, unfortunately, our hour is up. The hour goes very fast, you know, on the fire.